Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the studios of Teeing It Up, Swampscott, Jersey, this is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling on a Tuesday, August 2nd, the year 2016.
He's back. Finally. It's our time to welcome Seth Rothman, Yes Network, and a bunch of other things back to Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. You're back.
Where am I? Did I take a wrong turn somewhere? What is? Where am I right now?
Golf majors had you off the map.
Oh, is that what it was?
So Seth loves the Olympics. He especially loves the Winter Olympics, as he loves himself some hockey, but he does love the Summer Olympics, which is why he's on, because Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC will be the opening ceremonies. You can see Olympic action, though, starting tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on NBCSN with men's and women's soccer. Seth, there's only one place for me to start, and it's obvious. 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time next Thursday, August 11th, the start of golf's return to the Olympics. Will you be watching?
No.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for golf's return to the Olympics?
I would put my excitement level for golf at the Olympics higher than my excitement level for golf normally. So my excitement level will be about a 1.
Oh, okay. If Roope Kako from Finland, that's an actual name of an actual golfer competing in the Olympics, if Roope Kako wins the gold medal, will you be interested in seeing the medal presentation and hearing the Finnish anthem?
I'm sorry, can you say that name again?
Roope Kako.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I have no idea who I'm talking about. That says something. Well, I have no idea who this person is, and there's a bunch of them. And especially on the women's side, there's a bunch of them, even more. But of the 60 people in the field, there's about 20 people I've never heard of.
Wow.
For the men, which says something, obviously, for me.
You know, personally for me, when it comes to the Olympics, the sports I really enjoy are the sports where the Olympics are the pinnacle. And
right.
I don't think golf is there. I don't think basketball is there. You know, hockey, to an extent, I think is there. But, you know, that is, in all seriousness, why I'm not as interested in golf, is because I'm more interested in you know, handball and swimming and track and field and, you know, the sports where the Olympics, water polo, volleyball, whatever, where the Olympics are as high as you can get in your profession. And I think we've seen with all the golfers asking out that golf is not at that level yet.
Speaking of water polo, how excited are you for Pierre Maguire's post-game interviews?
Yeah, I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand why Doc isn't, you know, doing it.
Doc asked for the summer off. Doc wanted the summer off, and NBC said yes.
Who's the play-by-play on that? Is it Bob Hopper?
No, I will look it up. So I will ask you a question, and I will look that up, and I will have an answer for you within moments. Because
okay.
Unfortunately, water polo is not my expertise.
No.
What's interesting, though, is that if you look at basketball, which is not the pinnacle, and the U.S. is going to win the gold medal in a landslide on both sides,
right.
I think you're seeing, though, people realize about global expansion and the fact that you can get your brand out to a wider amount of people, which is continuing to frustrate me as to why the NHL hasn't said yes permanently to this. And I get it, there's money, insurance, it's in the middle of the season, blah, 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 but it's great for expanding global brands. That's a discussion, however, for a 2018 edition of Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. For the 2016 edition of Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling here on August 2nd, I want to start with this. Michael Phelps and Simone Biles have a chance to really do something unique, and especially Simone, which is walk away as the best that ever played and participated in your sport. And as somebody who has talked to athletes and has gotten to know athletes over the years, do you think that somebody like Simone Biles, you know, four-time consecutive world champion, four-time U.S. champion, now in this huge cauldron that is the Olympic Games, You know, gymnasts, their margin of error is so thin. Do you think that's what captivates the athletes and lures them in, the fact that they have that slim margin for error? And do you think that's what lures us in as viewers, because that margin of error is so slim?
From what I talked with, and when I talked with Henrik Lundqvist and Ranger players during the Stanley Cup final, they really honestly, and I believe them when they say this, do not worry about the risk of failure, or do not worry about what happens if I don't do this perfectly. They are singularly focused on the task in front of them. And I think, you know, if you talk to Simone Biles, I think she would say the same thing, that she's not worried about, well, if I don't land this perfectly, I'm going to get a deduction. I think she's looking at how do I land this perfectly and trying to do the best job she can. You know, athletes, I think the fascinating thing about athletes at this high level is how their brains work, because I think a lot of these people, and whether it's hockey players or baseball players or whatever, they are able to focus in on only what they need to focus in on, I think, better than most people. I mean, if I was in there, I'd be thinking about, oh, my God, it's the Olympics, and I'm so excited, and I'm so nervous, and what if I don't do a good job? These guys are so confident in their ability. I just don't think that's part of what they're thinking about. I think, in, you know, if when you talk to athletes, I think a lot of them will say they are just singularly focused on trying to do it and not so much worried about the end result, what if I don't do it.
Paul Burmeister is the water polo play-by-play man. He will be joined by Julie Swale and Wolf Weigo.
I'll take your word for it.
And obviously Pierre, to give us all the wonderful anecdotes about these players as college and high school histories. It's interesting because Phelps, as we know, and I remember the day that he came back, and I said to you, Rowdy must be so happy because he successfully predicted it. You know, he looked like a different man at trials. He looked so relaxed. He looked so happy. And I'm excited to see, because if you look at the swimming trials, it was a very new guard trials with all these new Olympians. And I think he's going to be the leader of the old guard, and I think he's got a chance to be that mentor-type role and go out there and show the U.S. how to do it and really be an interesting presence on a very large scale, because the Caleb Dreesens and the Jack Congers and the and all those people, both the men and the women, he's that elder statesman along with Lochte, who's dyed his hair white for some reason, which is really perplexing. But I think he's going to have a really interesting role as a father figure, both literally now with Boomer and figuratively.
Yeah, I'm really interested in what he does. He's obviously not the Michael Phelps that we saw in Athens or in London even. But I'm fascinated by him because I think in Beijing. But I just think he's a very interesting person. I mean, we thought he was going to retire after the last Olympics. He comes back. He obviously, I think, in the trials, from what I saw, was not the same swimmer, and yet he still managed to get it done. I was looking at the Sports Illustrated Olympic preview. I don't think he's favored in their preview to win any event. He's favored to medal. So I'm interested. Maybe he's favored in a couple events, but he's a really interesting guy. I'm really looking forward to the grill time at his sport, but just to see what he's got left and what he's able to muster, because he's got that incredible competitiveness that's allowed him to do what he's done. I certainly hope he can do it. We'll have to see and find out beginning this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Seth Rothman here on Teeing It Up. Usain Bolt hurt himself in the trials in Jamaica, but because of their system, was able to come back on and make the team and will be in the 100 and 200 in that relay. he's weird. I don't know how to understand him, describe him. He's an interesting fella. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he performs on this big stage, because he's kind of mysterious. You know, he says he's going to retire soon. And we may not know until he gets out there how good that hammy is. And I think for a race that already has a lot of intrigue, because Bolt naturally brings a lot of eyeballs, that's just going to create even more.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fun guy to watch because of his personality. Who knows? I mean, that's another one that you know, we're really not going to know anything about him at all until he goes out there and races. I mean, can he do it? Maybe. Might he not be able to do it? That's possible, too. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see and find out.
How much would I have to pay you to watch lots of Olympics on your upcoming vacation where you will miss some of the first week?
You know, I'll be honest with you, Jeremy. I'm away, I think, like the 13th to the 17th. I was seriously considering not, you know, I obviously knew that week was the Olympics, and trying to find a different week to go because I didn't want to miss it. But, you know, I'm sure I'll catch some of the highlights here and there and whatnot. But
you can watch it on your phone.
I can watch it on my phone, and, you know, I'm sure we'll be in the hotel room early enough out there that we'll be able to catch at least a little bit of it. So, you know, I'm not too worried about that. The only thing I wish that there was that they don't have, that NBC doesn't have, is like a highlight show at the end of the day. Like, I wish, you know, I'm going to be at work a lot of days during the Olympics from 1 p.m. until 11 p.m. I would love, maybe it's before the late night, maybe it's after the late night, just give me like a 30-minute, or even if it's a 15-minute, like, recap of the day that I can DVR and get all the highlights of the biggest events. Because prime time isn't really that. I wish they had like a little 30-minute highlight show that I could DVR every night, watch it when I got home, and then if there's anything else I want to watch, I can watch that too. But at least that way, when I miss stuff, I have a way to see it, because it's very difficult to watch highlights after the fact of the Olympics, because they're so difficult with their streaming and certainly with, you know, highlights. You know, once something happens, it's difficult to find it.
Seth, did you overcook the rice?
No, I was watching swimming, so I guess I did a little bit.
You know, because that siren, you know, I don't want you, like, you know, having a problem here. If you cook something, you know, obviously you can say excuse me and take it off the burner before the fire department has to come.
I'm okay.
Good to hear. And now I totally lost my train of thought. Their plan is to actually put together a highlight show that you'll see in some streaming places of Facebook and Twitter and some places on social media. The problem with a show like that, and I get what you're saying, is what they've done is they've let the local affiliates package some highlights into their local news telecast. But the problem is, because of geofencing, the fact that things are not live to the West Coast, it makes it hard for some people to figure out a way to, you know, for them to produce a highlight show that can air on linear television that won't upset the West Coast of, you know, affiliates, but still will provide action at that. You know, so like, in essence, with primetime ending at midnight, the next moment they could air a highlight show would be 3 a.m.
Right.
Eastern time.
No, they could air it at midnight in each market. So they could air it after primetime in each market, whether that's midnight on the East Coast, it's midnight on the West Coast.
I see what you're saying, but the local news people got to, you know, do their thing.
Well,
so
do it after local. Well, whatever. Anyways.
I'm just saying. talking to Seth Rothman here. You know, one of the things that's interesting about this is that people, you know, get older and become parents. And we have Kerry Walsh Jennings, who has now partnered with her former rival now to try to win gold again. I think that's one of the interesting things that can happen when it comes to Olympic sports. You know, you've got Kevin Durant now playing alongside his new teammates, and you've got, you know, Kerry Walsh Jennings teaming up with some of her older teammates, her former rivals, and now teammates, as some of the interesting things that this creates in some of the team sports that you find at the Olympics.
You know, NBC actually had a really nice documentary over the weekend on her, and I mean, she needed shoulder surgery. I think it was in September and November, somewhere in there. And she's back now and able to do it. I mean, she's another one of those athletes that is really, really impressive and you know, another one that I think certainly I'm looking forward to watching. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm certainly looking forward to watching it.
What is your favorite off-the-beaten-path sport to watch and why?
I really enjoy watching the sports that I don't normally get a chance to watch.
So
for example, fencing doesn't really excite me as much. I would say handball is kind of the underrated sport for me, that if it's on, I'll watch it. Just because I don't really understand what is going on, but it looks like fun. So I think, you know, handball is certainly one of them. Archery is another one that I'm just like, again, I don't really understand what's going on other than they hit the target, and that's cool. Rugby, I think I'll get into. I've watched a little bit of that as we've gone on here. So for me, it's, you know, soccer doesn't excite me as much. Basketball doesn't excite me as much, you know, because we see those sports all the time now in this country. We've got our teams here and everything. But it's the sports that are never on TV except for these 2 weeks. Those are the ones that I enjoy the most.
We're talking to obviously to Seth Rothman here on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. The U.S. women's national team, you know, it's interesting how this stuff sort of works out, because their gold in 2012 was the redemption over the loss in the Women's World Cup to Japan the previous year. And now, coming off the Women's World Cup win, Mabby Wambach is obviously retired. But, for the Carly Lloyds and the Alex Morgans and the Hope Solos, this is almost the ultimate icing on the cake opportunity for them to say, you know what, we faced the loss in 2011, we got gold. We came back last year in 2015 in Canada, won gold, and had the most unbelievable gold medal game you will ever see, including one of the most insane goals you ever see from Carly Lloyd. And here we are now back in the Olympics. Let's just go win the darn thing.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that confuses me about soccer in the Olympics is, for the men, it's an under 21 team. And you can have like 3 or 4 overage people. So why is it different for the women than it is for the men? Like, why are the women's teams allowed to have whoever they want, and the men's teams are not the full? You know, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know what the reasoning behind that is. I'm sure it has something to do with FIFA and the IOC, which wouldn't surprise anybody who knows those two organizations. But that doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, I mean, the women's team, they're good. They're not bad. You know, they're okay at soccer. I think there'll be another one that people are interested in. And you know, but I mean, again, like for me, I'll watch it tomorrow and Thursday because it's on. But like, once the rest of the Olympics start, I won't be watching a lot of soccer because, you know, I watch NYCFC all the time. I watch the Premier League all the time. Like, I don't need to get my soccer fill with the Olympics, so I don't follow it as closely as I follow some of the other stuff.
Since 92, the under 23 rule has been in effect, and it allows teams from around the world to compete equally, and the African countries have taken particular advantage of this. I will look up during the next answer what the women's thing is, but this is This is one of the things where they didn't want the world. They wanted the World Cup to remain the premier soccer event,
and that's what I assumed it was.
Yeah.
That it's a World Cup issue, but then why is the Women's World Cup not affected on the other side? You know what I mean?
And
the reason is probably money, but that's neither here nor there.
I will look that up during the next question. There's a couple people from NBC who we need to talk about. Tara and Johnny, our buddies Tara and Johnny, who are about to get their own podcast for NBC, will be correspondents and have spent a lot of time traveling around Brazil. If Mary Carrillo does the more hard-hitting and interesting and educational pieces, I cannot even imagine what Tara and Johnny have had up their sleeves.
Yeah, I saw the picture on Twitter of Johnny Weir has about 8 suitcases with him. So, yeah. But, no, I mean, sure, I have no opinion. I don't really have a lot of interest in it. I mean, it just isn't something that, the features... You know, if I'm watching Primetime Live, I'll stick with a feature. If I'm DVRing it, which a lot of nights I'll be watching the Primetime show on the DVR, I'll probably skip them. I mean, they just don't do a whole lot for me. So it doesn't really affect me either way.
And obviously this is a live Olympics, which creates some interesting things, but the weird thing, and just so the people out there know that the way this is going to be structured for NBC is a little interesting. You can watch every moment of every moment of every single event live on NBCSports.com, NBCOlympics.com, or the NBC Sports app. So there's no complaints over tape delay in that sense. Gymnastics has a live guarantee for prime time in Europe. That's why it's very late in the afternoon, the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Here in the U.S., it'll be on tape in prime time. Diving, I have no idea why diving's on tape. Maybe it's because they're sharing the same building. I don't know. But diving will be on tape in prime time on NBC. The only three sports that will be live in prime time on NBC is swimming. And NBC negotiated that to be late at night from usually 10 to 12 local, 9 to 11-ish Eastern, and track live in the East on NBC. So there's going to be some interesting sequencing and what Jim Bell and company do when they decide to...
But Jeremy, you also have to remember that normally, and I think it's the same here, swimming is in the first week, track is in the second week. So they don't... You know, they're not going to combine a whole lot.
I think it's the one night or the two nights. It's the Saturday and Sunday, August 13th and 14th, I think it is. And now you totally got me off track. Oh yes, there's some interesting sequencing of do they present gymnastics in a block up front and get it out of the way, or do they do part of it, stop, go to Phelps and Missy Franklin and Katie and all those people who we haven't talked about yet, by the way, trust me, we will, live, and then go back to gymnastics or not. That'll be interesting. My recommendation, and I think we talked about this 8 years ago, Seth, is Gold Zone. It's hosted by Andrew Siciliano from NBC's Red Zone, from DirecTV's NFL Red Zone. That channel is unbelievable, and that would be my recommendation for you, is to figure out if that channel is available on replay, because that's all high-octane moments one after the other.
Yes, it is, but again, if I don't know exactly what time something happened, it's difficult to find it on Gold Zone. Yes, Gold Zone is my favorite streaming platform during the Olympics, bar none. I'm sure, you know, I will have Gold Zone on while I'm watching on TV, and you know, I'm kind of crazy. But yes, I think... Yeah, I'm kind of sick, but I think during the Winter Olympics last time, I had two streams plus my TV going at one time. It's an Olympics of watching another Olympics, and those Olympics are watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
So Gold Zone is certainly something I watch, but I don't know, you know, if I don't know exactly what time something happened, it's difficult you know, to go back and find it. But yes.
Okay. And now back to Katie Ledecky, who I think is going to be the overall breakout star. I think Simone Biles finally reached it. About
Jeremy, is this like a one-hour special?
This is not a one-hour special. I'm just kind of no. Trust me, we are towards the end. I'm just kind of free rolling here. This is one of my free roll shows. You know, I don't. You know, this is one of those shows where you just talk and you just go and you see what it comes up with. Because that's how Jay's show rolls. Katie Ledecky, I think, is about to be the breakout star. I think Simone reached that during the trials. I think a lot of people got on her radar. I don't think people have been on Katie's radar yet. I think Phelps and his comeback at times overshadowed that, and then Missy Franklin's shocking lack of results kind of overshadowed that. Katie, to me, the fact that she does this so well at multiple distances is what really astounds me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, I was reading in Sports Illustrated that that Katie Ledecky is like 13 seconds faster than anybody else in the entire world at her events. In the, I think it was the 800 meters. That's ridiculous. So, you know, I saw that. I mean, yeah, obviously, she's good. Again, she's another one that, you know, she's not bad. So I would expect her to be pretty good also here. But yeah, she's certainly fun to watch.
And it's to the point where, it's to the point where if she doesn't, she is, as long as she is physically standing and up on 2 feet, she will win the 800 meters. That's how insanely dominant she is.
Well, I would hope she's not on her. I would hope she's not on her feet. I think that would make it more difficult for her. But yeah, I agree with I think the premise.
Have we forgotten any storylines? Rika the water. Mo Farah. We didn't mention Mo Farah. He's the beloved distance runner.
You mentioned Zika, and what interested me was. I was reading something somewhere that because they're in the winter right now, nobody in Rio is actually worried about that right now.
And nobody on the golfing superintendent staff has gotten Zika. And they think there's a misconception about that, and amongst the golfers specifically, that they use Zika as a cover for either not liking the format, the schedule was too packed leading up to Rio. They didn't like the fact that that the security situation, you know, they didn't feel secure. They were worried about the athlete's village, whatever it may have been, that they didn't feel kind of secure and comfortable in that general situation. I think that's about it. I know you'll be watching on the networks of NBC Universal. I'll be watching on the networks of NBC Universal. I hope you all are watching on the networks of NBC Universal. My prediction for you, Seth, is that you will watch Olympic golf and be drawn in by the drama of the moment.
Jeremy, I have to tell you, I have a slight feeling that prediction may end up being wrong.
Coverage starts Monday on Golf Channel at 9 a.m. Eastern Time with Golf Central live from the Olympics. Lots of hours of coverage for that. One last thing while I have you with me here on Teeing It Up. And Ashton Eaton, obviously decathlon. He's gonna, you know, he is the favorite. Obviously, after pulling that off 4 years ago, he's the favorite to win that event. While I have you, the notion of baseball and there needing to be changes to the game, whether it's shortened season, a change in the strike zone, not intentionally walking people anymore, but just handing them four, you know, balls and just, you know, walking over to speed up the game, on a scale of extremely unlikely to extremely likely, How realistic do you think any of those ideas we've seen thrown out in the last 2 months will actually ever come to fruition?
You know what? I will say this to you. I think there is probably a little bit of truth in the idea that the season, that it would help the season to be a little bit shorter, to be 154 games. And the reason that I say that, and I'm, excuse me for slowing down a little bit, I'm trying to look up a stat from last season, which is, you know, how many guys actually played in 162 games last year. It's not that many, you know, it really isn't. And I think it would help a lot of these guys. There were only 19 players played 158 games last season. So most guys, only one player played 162 games. Like, nobody actually plays every single game. So I really do think it would actually help a lot of these guys be able to play every day if you brought the season down to 154 games. And so I think that's the one. There were a total of 40 players in baseball that played 155 games or more last year. So the idea that dropping to 154 would do massive things to baseball's records, I don't think it would. I mean, Manny Machado was the only guy last year to play 162. Kyle Seager was the only other guy to play more than 160. So I would be perfectly okay with baseball dropping to 154 games, teams getting six more off days. I think that would really help.
It will be interesting to see if any of that ever comes to fruition, because there is a notion, I think, in some places that the season is too long and that that there is a movement to get everybody playing more often so that fans going to the ballpark have a better assurance about who they're seeing. And I think if the owners and the players can get past the money and figure out a way to make it work, I think it would make the game better.
Because
the product of baseball, you know, look, there is an argument to be made that at times the baseball product is great and at times the baseball product is horrible, and it depends on where you are and how injured your team is, and that's obviously a statement that applies to every team in every sport. But it's a slog, and when you can find a way to make it healthier and make it to the point where you have a better chance of seeing the guys you want to see, and I was going to say tee it up. sorry, wrong sport. Lace it up and, you know, and step into the batter's box. That can only be good for the game.
Yep, definitely.
Seth, I thank you for coming on, teeing it up with Jeremy Schillen.
Always a pleasure. As normal, we hit it right down the fairway.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, have fun.
Thanks for listening. We will see you next time on Teeing It Up.